What I want to do this morning is I want you to think a bit, a little less Fox News and a little bit more Matthew. In Matthew, God commands us exactly what our mission is supposed to look like. And what I want to do is I want to us to get excited about the state that our country is in, because it's not that we should be excited about the things that are going the wrong direction. It's that today in our country, we still have the freedom to give the gospel to souls who are on their way to spend eternity away from God. That is something to be excited about. So what I want to do is start in Colossians. If you could turn your Bibles with me to Colossians 1, 19 through 22. Colossians 1, 19 through 22. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. This phrase right here, by him, by Jesus, to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I will say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. The awesome part about that passage is it's saying that everything that Christ is doing right now is this reconciliation process. And as Christians, our job is not to clean up the streets. Our job is not to get everyone acting Christian. Our job is to be involved in this reconciliation process that Christ has going on. So whether there's laws that prevent gay marriage or there's laws that allow gay marriage, that doesn't change our mission. The mission is the same: to take the love of Christ to every man, woman, and child. And so today, what I ask you to do is I'd ask you to process some of that frustration out of your system. Get some of that anger purged out. And what I'm hoping at the end of the day that we talk this morning, that you'll be a little more passionate, a little more excited about the mission God has given you, and a little more, okay, that's fine, about all the issues that are going on in our country today. There are issues. It is an unbelievable time in our country, but that doesn't change anything about what Christ has called us to do. The interesting thing about the environment today versus the environment in the 40s and the 50s and 60s is that morality is now being unhinged from the truth of Scripture, and absolute morality is now turned into relative morals, right? So it's not, I don't have to believe something for the sake of it's the truth. I can believe my own truth. But we've seen that in Scripture before. If you look at Noah, it took his family through a storm, through wind and rain that would destroy the earth. He gets off the boat and falls into sin. In the days of Rome, you had rampant homosexuality. So sin is nothing new. The older generations always will say to me, son, you don't know what it was like in the 60s. It's true. I wasn't there. That's fair. That was funny too. I need to get cue cards for your church, pastor. But what's interesting to me is that the Leave It to Beaver, how many of you know what Leave It to Beaver is? All right, good. All right. So my parents growing up, I grew up in a very conservative home, and I wasn't allowed to watch anything made after 1990. So everything was out. So I've seen Leave It to Beaver, Andy Griffith. I've seen all those shows. I can quote them. But the Leave It to Beaver era, right, the June Cleavers, it wasn't reality. It wasn't real. It was that societal norms looked like something, but sin continued to destroy lives. It continued to destroy homes. homosexuality didn't pop up in 1995. I was with a group of people at dinner, and a homosexual couple came in, and the lady goes, "You see them? Yes. I think they're gay. I think you're right." So the problem is we don't like it out in the open. So the problem in 2019 is it's in the open. 1960, 1950, it was underground, but sin has been here the whole time. Okay? Sin didn't arrive in the 90s with the millennials. I want to let all of you baby boomers know, we didn't make this mess. We're just cleaning up our way. There's not enough baby boomers in here to make that joke work, but I'll work on it a little bit more. But listen to me for a second. In 2019, the problem that we're struggling with in our country is that morality is now is the option of the person. It's the truth of morality is my truth. In the state of California, there's several counties that have told the schools that they cannot tell boys whether they're boys or girls. So when they line up to go to the bathroom or to go to recess, they can't say boys in this line, girls in this line, because that's gender confusion, that you're going to confuse them. Now, I have a four-year-old boy, and my problem with my four-year-old boy is that he can't keep his clothes on. It is a challenge that we're having with him. We have people coming over for dinner. We get him ready. He's clothed. We confirm this. We open the door for the guests, and naked little four-year-old comes running out of the room. And the guests look at us like, "Oh, this is how you do it at your house." And I'm like, "I guess it is. Welcome to our house." But my four-year-old boy is being given the option to choose if he wants to be a boy or a girl. First of all, that's crazy. Second of all, my son's going to pick whichever one gets the biggest laughs. My daughter's going to be in the principal's office because she's going to be lecturing the teacher. It's just going to be how it goes. But the fact of the matter is the kids aren't pushing this. It's the adults. Because the adults are wanting to not force themselves to make a morally absolute decision that changes the way that they have to reflect on their own behaviors. In the state of Tennessee, there is a community that wants to kick the Bible out of the public school libraries. In the United States of America today, the average library has over 10,000 pages of what we would consider soft pornography or pornographic material. And they want to kick the Bible out? And you should listen to their ideas. It's violent. Oh, really? Jericho, they walked around the walls. I'm not sure if you remember that part. But they want to kick the Bible out because the Bible defines morality. That's why they want to kick the Bible out. They want to kick the Bible out because the Bible will define for them what morality looks like. In the state of North Carolina right now, we're in a fight with Rowan County. You can look this up if you would like, but in Rowan County, we're working to get it all the way to the Supreme Court. Rowan County wants to open up every session of their city council meetings in prayer. They're okay with that, right? They're okay with prayer. They're just not okay with prayer in Jesus' name. That's the problem. Why would they not want prayer in Jesus' name? Well, the problem is when you invoke the name of Jesus, that's divisive. That's discriminatory. No, that's not why. No, that's not why. They don't want the name of Jesus brought into the mix because it means that everything that happens in that city council meeting needs to come underneath of the absolute morality, the teachings of who Jesus is. Our country is not after Christians. Our country wants Jesus out. Because if it can kick Jesus out, then it gives a carte blanche open checkbook to the open immorality that is taking place in our country today. That's what they want out. They want Jesus out. They want his teachings out, because then that gives them the ability to rationalize and justify their behaviors. But see, this isn't anything new. You can turn, we'll put this on the screen, so you don't need to turn to it, but Judges 21:25. You can put that on the screen. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was, and say this with me, right in his own eyes. So that's the bottom line of this whole problem. The bottom line of this whole problem is that in today's society, people want to do what is right in their own eyes. In the state of Ohio, this is where it gets comical. You have to laugh at some of this. If you don't laugh, it'll make you crazy. In the state of Ohio, there's a young man who now believes he's a woman, female, girl, it, something. And he wants to be in the women's locker room, the girls' locker room, during PE. Now, if you've ever met a junior high boy, they all want to be in the girls' locker room during PE. And there's been many of a young man who's been pushed, forced, locked in the girls' locker rooms in PE. I know none of you upstanding Christians would ever do a behavior like that, but I have seen it. Never involved, that you know of. But what's interesting to me is that they're not just trying to force that this young man gets to be in that locker room, because what that is that's what we call accommodation. Accommodation is us making an allowance. It's us making there to be some way to help that person facilitate their need. But they don't want accommodated, because accommodation means that their behavior isn't quite correct, right? So it's not that they want accommodated. They don't want, so we said we have our own shower, curtain, be by himself. No, they want that boy in the mix with all the rest of the girls. Sometimes you look at these people and go, this is a joke, right? There's a camera in here somewhere. But the thing is, it's the fight is not about the whether or not our country is going to have higher taxes or not. Is that happening? Yes. Our fight is not all of these social programs that are in our country. Our fight right now that permeates everything about our country is, will Jesus' word, will who Jesus is dictate morality, or will morality no longer have any mooring to anything? That's what the fight is. But what's interesting is the liberals do not understand the Pandora's box that they've opened up. In the state of Wisconsin, there's a group that is fighting to make pedophilia okay in the United States, to make pedophilia allowed in the United States. You might say, that can't happen. Think about it. When you no longer have any moral ties to our Constitution, to the laws in our country, what makes pedophilia wrong? The answer is, I don't think it does. You go before the Supreme Court and you say that this man loves this young boy. I don't mean to be graphic, but I want to be clear. This is the fight that we're in. You say this man and this young child, what are you going to say to the judge to convince him that our laws don't allow that? Our laws weren't written to be moral codes. Our laws were meant to assume the moral codes that are in Scripture. And so without the moral codes that define who our society is, we no longer have the moral underpinnings of our society. You might say, well, you started off saying I wasn't supposed to be frustrated. Now I'm ticked. But I want to pivot for the rest of this conversation because, yes, it's not great. And June Cleaver is no longer setting the dinner table on national television. But what I want to do is I want to pivot the conversation away from what's wrong to what is the solution. Because I'll tell you this right now, solution is not outlawing or banning all the bad behaviors. If you think that we could create laws to change everyone's behaviors, you haven't met your kids. That was like a low mumble agreement. But what we want to do is we want to understand what is it that truly is the solution? What does make the change? I would like for you to turn your Bibles, the last chapter of Scripture that I'm going to reference, but I want you to turn your Bibles to Acts 26. Acts 26. Acts 26 is a great passage of Scripture, and what's happening in Acts 26 is he is standing up and giving to Agrippa a defense of himself. He's in front of King Agrippa. And if we can put on in Acts 26, if we can start in verse 14 on the screen. So Acts 14 is good. So in Acts 26, Paul is before King Agrippa, and he is defending his behavior to King Agrippa. King Agrippa's like, you are a crazy man. Why are you trying to get an audience in Rome? Why do you want to talk to Caesar? I will dismiss these charges right now. You can go home. What is your problem? And Paul's like, well, sir. And he goes into a long defense of himself. He starts out saying that he was a learned man, that he understood the law from his youth. He's going through all of this discussion about who he is and what he was. And then he says here in verse 14, he says that he's talking about going and trying to persecute Christians in Damascus. And in verse 14, he said, and we were all fallen to the earth. I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And just as a pause, do you see how Jesus takes it personally? It wasn't you're persecuting my people. He said you're persecuting me. Verse 16, but rise, speaking to Paul, who was then Saul, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of those things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That's our mission. Verse 16 through verse 18, that's how we change the United States. That's how you change Fredericksburg. In the state of California, they passed a law saying it is illegal to try to convert a homosexual out of homosexuality. First of all, I don't convert anyone out of bad behaviors. I just introduce them to Jesus. But they had another law that they were putting through that they wanted to articulate that you couldn't put any documents or any pamphlets together with the purpose of trying to convert a homosexual out of homosexual behavior. What do we all hold that talks against homosexuality? The Bible. The goal in that legislation was to outlaw the handing out of Bibles in the state of California. First of all, the state of California always talks about seceding from the union. I think we let them. Push them out to sea. And then pray for a fault line earthquake. 6 months of that behavior, where they don't have electricity, water, or any of our funding, they'll be calling back and we'll create terms of re-engagement. you get half votes. But in Canada today, if a pastor gets up in the pulpit in Canada today and preaches against homosexuality, he can be arrested and put into jail for speaking against that behavior. That's where we are today. That's how close we are. But the thing is, the mission is not to change people's sinful behaviors. The mission is really simple, to turn them from darkness to light. That song this morning that we were singing, I was like, is right out of my notes. To turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the deliverance. They'll be delivered from all the things that hold them and that tie them down. We're not trying to make the United States the Leave It to Beaver looking feel. In fact, in the South, when you try to witness to someone because of their behavior, they all think they're safe. I'm okay with the bad behaviors because that really makes it clear. As long as we don't stop doing our mission because we're so frustrated and so angry all the time. The church is getting immobilized by anger and frustration. In the state of Florida, there was a shooting at a school, Parkland shooting. I'm not sure how many of you remember the Parkland shooting. And there was a group of young people that went to Washington, D.C. to speak out against gun control. I'm not for gun control. I'm probably on the list of when they go to take the guns, they will send the SWAT team to my house. I've got too many for everyone's comfort. But I listened to them talking, and then I opened up my Facebook feed, and I've never seen Christian adults be so vitriol towards young people. And I use the word vitriol for a reason, because it wasn't just, that's a weird kid. It was hateful comments. You have a young girl who grew up in a horribly broken home, who just saw several of her friends killed in front of her. She is hurting deeper than she's ever hurt before, and she's trying to do something to make that hurt go away. And as Christians, we're mad because she wants the government to consider taking our guns. It's not the point. If the government called me today and I had the option to give up all my guns so that those young kids would accept Christ, I'd turn them in tomorrow. We've got to stop trying to hold on to things that do not last. And we need to start fighting for the things that truly do matter. In the country of Ecuador, there was a group of guys led by Jim Elliot. And Jim Elliot and his friends wanted to take the gospel to a tribe called the Aka Indian tribe. And I'm sure many of you have heard this story, but they took the gospel and they started dropping notes and giving gifts. And during that period of time, they decided to land a plane on the beach and meet these Indians. They landed on the beach. They had their first meeting. The Aka Indians came out to meet with them. They had a conversation. The next morning, the tribe's members came to the beach and to kill those men. They had weapons with them, but as the guys were approaching, Jim Elliott and Nate Saint have a recorded conversation in their journals where they talk about that we're not going to shoot. We're not going to kill any of them in order to preserve our own lives. And on that beach that morning, they were all killed for the gospel's sake. Elizabeth Elliot and the other women went back into the jungle to those same people that had killed their husbands and used that story of their husband's sacrificial death as a picture of who Jesus is. And today, that tribe is predominantly Christian. And the grandson of the chief who came to that beach that day partnered up and has now putting a film out to try to get Christians in America back woken up. And Jim Elliot has a phrase, and I love this phrase. I try to remind myself of it daily. If you have something to write down and you haven't heard this phrase, jot this down. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. I'm going to say it one more time. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. I'm guilty of this every day. I give up things I cannot lose, or I can lose, for the sake of things that I really, really don't need to gain. If you think through your week, how many times have we gotten angry or said inappropriate things to someone out of anger on the as a customer service line? My dad and I were at the airport one time, and my dad's an Irishman, born and raised in Ireland. Those people that come from that country have really violent tempers. And he got mad and started yelling at this poor girl. And we're walking away, and my dad's very stately, believes, you know, in his morality. And we're walking away. I said, "Dad, I'm sure she's ready to accept Jesus now." And then I got yelled at. Some scripture about honoring parents, I'll have to find it later. But we give up the internal for the temporary so many times. Because we as humans were built short-sighted. So the next time you're watching Fox News and you're yelling and screaming at Nancy Pelosi or your hated Republican or whichever side you fall onto it, turn it off. Turn it off. The next time that you see something or you hear something and you want to start talking about how ridiculous all the millennials are, stop. The next time your brain fills with frustration and anger and angst because of the behaviors of those people around you, stop. Just stop. We need to find ways in those moments to redirect our thinking, redirect our focus, and remember that the only purpose we're here is to turn people from darkness to light. And from the power of Satan unto God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance. That's it. That's why we're here. This country's gonna get more out of control. It's true. This country is gonna get more left progressive. It's true. This country is going to get more harsh with Christians. It's true. But let's focus on our mission. Let's focus on why we exist. Let's remind ourselves on our mission and our purpose. Because you know what the devil does? He just needs to get us off point. That's all he needs. He doesn't need to destroy us. He just needs to get our focus redirected. And it happens so quick. And it happens so fast. And then it happens so much that we find ourselves living in a mental state where we are ineffective. And that's exactly where he wants us. The devil doesn't need to destroy all of us. He just needs to make us ineffective Christians. Fredericksburg doesn't lose the opportunity to be... Fredericksburg doesn't... this church doesn't need to fail Fredericksburg. It just needs to become ineffective. The National Center for Life and Liberty, we exist to defend churches. We're not on a mission to outlaw homosexuality, not a mission to outlaw any type of wrong behavior. We're on a mission to protect churches because what we know is that this church has the right focus. This church is missionally minded. The gates of hell can't prevail against it. Someone said to me the other day, do the liberals make you mad? Yes, but remember the story's all over. One day, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. If you want to know who wins, We win. It's over. It's true. If you want to see somebody separated from God forever, it's going to happen. But when you watch TV and you see people communicating and talking about things, what we should do is instead of going, "You're wrong," we should weep. We should be sorrowful because their temporary existence is going to be a flash, but their eternity away from God is permanent. My mom is a Fox News junkie, and I always know when she spent the weekend looking at Fox News, because on Monday morning she calls me and she's like yelling in my ear, like, "Mom, I know they're crazy in Washington. I hear yelling. It's Monday morning. I need coffee first before we do this." I asked her last week, I said, "Have you ever prayed for Nancy Pelosi?" We were back to that honoring verse. But as Christians, we want to give up the things that are temporal to gain the things that are eternal. Keep mission focused. Don't let the devil take the current things happening to blind you and make you an ineffective Christian. When you see people doing wrong behaviors, make that break you. When you see people talking about ways to kick Jesus out of our country, feel sorry for them, empathy towards them, because they're on the road to eternal separation from God. As a church, let's be more broken and less fighting. Let's be more mission-minded and less irritated. And let's start remembering he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity to be here this morning. Lord, this is a fantastic church that you've placed here in Fredericksburg, a stone's throw away from the capital of our country. And Lord, I'm just so thankful for the reason you've put us here, the mission that you've given all of us. Help us to be less frustrated, irritated, angry, and more passionate about making sure that the souls around us have an opportunity to meet you. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do in this church in the coming days and weeks and months. We ask your protection over it. We ask your empowerment for it, that the Spirit, your Spirit, will move and work through this church so that Fredericksburg has more people that can be counted for your kingdom in 2020 than it was at the beginning of 2019. We ask all these things in Jesus' name.